Well, a very warm welcome to everybody this Sunday morning as we gather together as family to worship. Most of you will know that sadly Dad's dad passed away this week, and we will be praying for Dave and the family, and Sandra is with Dave's mum this morning, so she's not with us. And there are other needs that we will also spend time on in our intercessions later on. But we gather as family, and we gather to worship, and we gather knowing that God is here. So we're going to start by singing, I Will Worship. Please stand if you're able. And I've picked a couple this morning where the gents and the ladies sing different parts. So please sing out, and let's make a joyful noise. In a few minutes, Sophelia is going to come and give us our reading, which is from Ephesians 6. And I think many of you will know that that talks about the armour of God. But I thought it might be fun if I actually got out a real sword. This is my grandfather's sword. It's his ceremonial sword from his regiment in World War II. It doesn't have a sharp blade, but it does have a sharp point, so to avoid a health and safety incident, I've put masking tape on it. So that is my grandfather's sword from his regiment. And this would have been used for parades. And Susie, if you were in front of the king might say, I
you, Lady Susie.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, at which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should.
Thank you very much. We're going to sing three songs together now, and perhaps the stewards would like to take up the offering during the first of the songs and just quietly pop it at the front. We're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty, God of Glory, We Exalt Your Name, and In My Life, Lord, Be Glorified. Again, please stand if you're able.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Saviour, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end, all within me, all at Your throne.
this place, Lord. Take a seat. And we'll just have a few moments of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to bring you our praises this morning. Whether we're feeling up or down, tired or energetic, whether we are young or not so young, Lord, we want to bring you our praises. We want to declare our love for you. And we want to declare once again that we are yours and we seek to follow you more closely day by day. In Jesus' name, amen. Right, I've got a job to do, so I'd better get my gear on. So we have here one moderately clean boiler suit. Let's get that on. That's it. And then if we've got serious work to do, I'd better get the safety boots on as well. I was very grateful for the safety boots because somebody put a marquee post on my toes last weekend at Nevin. But the safety boots were fine, so that was okay. They're tested to 1.5 tons, these ones are. I think I'm ready for work. No. Gloves. Gloves to protect the hands. I should really have a safety hat on, but I'm afraid I've forgotten it. So make sure there are no hazards falling from above. If you just keep an eye out for me to make sure. Right. Hello. Who are you?
I'm a knight.
Why are you dressed like that?
Oh, I need my armour to get the job done. So I have a shield for protection as we advance, and my sword to clear the way, and my helmet protects me from anything falling from above, and my shoes allow me to be swift. Who are you anyway? And why are you dressed in those funny clothes?
I'm a workman. I'm here to do a job. And I'm not just wearing funny old clothes.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. Do you know, they're actually quite similar to yours in a way.
Similar to mine? No, they're not.
Yes, they are. I've got my overalls for protection. And if I'd not forgotten it, I'd have had my hard hat to save me against anything dropping from above. And I've got my safety shoes to protect my feet and make me sure-footed. And here's my power drill to do the job.
So, you know that reading we had from Ephesians?
Yes.
It's actually about using the stuff God provides for us to live our lives and get his work done.
Exactly. That's brilliant. Come on then, let's work together and serve God.
Yes.
And whilst I sort myself out, perhaps we could sing Your Love is Amazing. Going to pray for the youngsters now before they go out for their classes. Heavenly Father, once again we give you thanks for everything that we have, and we recognize that it is yours, and the offering that has been taken is just a token of our love for you. And now we pray for the youngsters as they go out to their class. Please bless them. Thank you for them. May they have a wonderful time learning more about you elsewhere in this building, and bless those that are leading this morning, that you would truly inspire them with your words and example. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm keeping the sound team on their toes this morning, moving between microphones. We're going to come to our time of intercessions. So let's bow our heads and pray. And we'll start by thinking about the world. And Lord, as we hear of all the fires everywhere, we thank you for the little bit of rain we've had round here this morning. But we do pray for those areas, particularly in southern France and the corner of Spain, where so many people have been displaced and there seems to be so much destruction. Please enable those who are fighting those fires to do so effectively. Please give them the resources and the strength they need. And we pray for favourable conditions, Lord. It's within your power to change the wind direction or cause the wind to be still. Just help them to get those fires under control. But Lord, we see these fires everywhere as a sign of our climate, this wonderful planet that you've given us, being under stress. And so we thank you for our wonderful world. Help us all to be mindful of how we care for it. Help us to think in our daily lives about our decisions and how those affect the world and people in other parts of the world. And Father, we pray especially that governments will once again realise that climate change is serious and needs action. And help us to play our part in raising their awareness of that. And Lord, again, as we think of the troubles in the Middle East, we can easily feel overwhelmed. But we are reminded that you are sovereign. You made all things. And we give you the nations of the Middle East, where there seems to have been so much hatred. And we pray that you would bring peace, that the peoples of those lands would come to understand forgiveness, would see the lessons of love. Father, would you do the impossible in the Middle East, we pray. And we do lift Ukraine and Russia before you. That war has now been going on for several years. And Father, we pray that those who have the power to say stop would be given a way of doing so, of backing down without having to lose too much face. Give them humble hearts, Lord. And where there is no peace, we pray that you would bring peace. And likewise for the other conflicts throughout the world, Lord, which barely make the news, we pray for peace. Here at home in the UK, Father, we pray for our government, for the new Prime Minister and the Cabinet. Father, would you infuse them with your values? Father, may they seek to uphold integrity and honesty. May they have concern for the poor and for fairness. May they not be afraid of making difficult choices and giving difficult messages to the public. And we do pray that they will do their best and they will be guided by your hand. And we pray especially for Christian MPs that you'd give them boldness and give them a voice to shape policy. And we pray for ourselves here. For each one of us, Lord, may we seek to serve you faithfully, to make your truth known in this place, just to show your presence in the way we go about our daily lives. Please fill us with your Spirit, Lord. Please equip us to serve you. And for those in need this morning, we ask a special blessing. please be especially close to Dave and Sandra and Dave's sister and his mom in their time of grief. May they know your loving arms around them. May they know strength that isn't their own. Help them to come to terms with this temporary parting, knowing that they are very, very close to you. And we do pray for Lou Farry, who's had a bad week too. Please just be to her everything that she needs. Please give special wisdom to those treating her, that she may get the best of care. And to Jenny, who's been poorly this week as well, please strengthen her, and may she know she's in our prayers, in our hearts, and again that you would be surrounding her with your love. And perhaps we can just have a couple of quiet moments when we just want to silently lift before the Lord all those that we're aware of who need a special touch from the Lord. And there are many of them, but each one is known to the Lord. Each one is precious to the Lord. And Lord, we ask your forgiveness for our own failings, for those times when we've kept silent and we should have said something, and for those times when we've said something and we should have kept silent. Please draw close to us. Just give us that direction and encouragement to serve you better, and to just be aware of your presence in our daily lives. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's just join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Amen. I've been very encouraged to see, whilst I've been leading, that Brendan's been writing his sermon. Brendan, come on up. And we'll just pray God's blessing on what Brendan is going to say. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Brendan stepping up at short notice to speak. And we trust you now for giving him your words to say to us. May we be receptive. Anything that you didn't want said, please take away. Anything that should have been said, please prompt Brendan to say it now. But we trust him into your hands as your servant, and we thank you now for him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Two sets of thanks. Thank you to Howard for leading that. And when we were in contact earlier in the week, he said, what are you going to talk about? Because I'm leading the service. And I didn't know what I was going to talk about because I didn't know at that stage. And we just agreed that it would either be completely different to what I said, in which case it would be complementary, or else it would be the same as what I said, in which case it would reinforce it. So on that basis, we went forward happily. Thank you to Sophelia, too, for the reading. And apologies that I'm not Jenny Wakefield. It's for those who came expecting her. And to fit in with what others prepared, I'm working with the same passage that Jenny chose. So it may be a little bit of rough around the edges. A friend of mine who was speaking at a Christian conference was asked a question. Someone said to him, what should we do with false prophets, people who say things they shouldn't say on behalf of God? And my friend said, well, you should shoot them. So I'm hoping that either I won't say things wrong or that you'll be a little bit more forgiving. So the plan is that we will go through this rich passage, Ephesians 6, and just comment on what I found. And if there's time at the end, there are one or two major themes that I'd quite like to revisit, but there may not be time. Jenny is very concerned. She said, how are you going to know about the time? The clock's behind you. So if anyone actually gets really concerned, please just put your hand up. Whatever. So, just work through the passage that we had. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This armour is not telling you just to be strong. It's not telling you just to resist. It's saying be strong in the Lord. It's his power, his mighty power, that gives you the strength. It provides this armour. And that's how I'm going to interpret the bits of armour that we come across. Paul said somewhere else in Philippians, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. It's Jesus who gives us, who gives the strength to the armour. Put on the full armour of God, it says. That implies a battle. So you can take your stand against the devil's schemes, against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world. This dark world, a little bit ambiguous. Does that mean the world around us is dark and we're looking at, we have a struggle against earthly powers? That's certainly true. But it also says, and against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, not earthly. The opposition we face and the source of the attacks against us, for which we need this armour, is to some extent, at least, supernatural. Jesus backed this up too, but Paul is saying it here. Therefore, because of this, because of the battle, put on the full armour of God, all of it, the whole thing. Not just the helmet, not just the breastplate, but the whole thing. We need complete protection in this battle which we are facing. So that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. After the day of evil comes, what does that mean? Well, it could mean when things go badly for you, when you feel ill, when you feel unloved, when you feel overwhelmed by the things you have to do, or the things that have happened to you, or the hurt you've experienced. That can be a day of evil, when you encounter difficulties. Or it could refer to the time of oppression and violence that Jesus predicted towards the end times. I'm not a great expert on this, but Jesus talked about it, Paul talks about it. There will come a time when Christians come under attack. And particularly in those times, when the day of evil comes, we will need this armour. He's not just saying, be brave. He's saying you'll need this armour, which is God's strength in us. So you'll be able to stand your ground, to withstand the attack without fleeing. And after you've done everything, to still be standing. This is quite tough stuff in a way. No, it's quite tough stuff anyway. To remain standing, undefeated. There is a battle before us, now, but also in the future. Stand firm then. Standing is important. Those boots that Howard was wearing, they're not only resistant to things being dropped on the toes, but they've got great grips underneath. So you don't slip and slide. Gives you the first thing you need to be able to do is stay on your feet in a battle. Stand firm. The belt of truth buckled around your waist. This morning, I was putting on my smart clothes because I was going to stand at the front, and I couldn't find my belt. I thought that'd be a bit awkward, coming to talk about the belt of truth without a belt. And would I really trust myself to one button? No, you've got to have a belt. Well, there are three interpretations of truth here. The belt of truth buckled around your waist. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. That's supernatural. The truth being Jesus. We have that. And that holds everything together for us. That's the first thing that Paul quotes in terms of the armour. It isn't defensive in the sense, but it holds everything else together. Jesus is the truth. A second interpretation of that is that what we believe as Christians is true. It's not something that makes us feel good. There's something very interesting about the news recently. Usually I watch it on the BBC, but the same is true wherever you watch your news. When they're interviewing someone who's been a witness to something, they do not say, as a general rule, what happened. They say, how did that make you feel? Once you've noticed that, it's really very remarkable. The question of what we feel is elevated to be really important. The question of actually what happened, the truth of it, is given very little time, or less time. What we believe as Christians is true. Jesus did live. Jesus did die. He rose from the dead. If those things did not happen, we shouldn't be here. But they did. Third interpretation in terms of the belt of truth. We speak the truth ourselves, and we resist falsehood. That sounds easy. We teach our children that, but it's surprisingly hard. And if time permits, I may say a little bit more about truth at the end. Stand firm then, with the breastplate of righteousness. This can be a trap. We might think that we are protected by righteousness because we have become Christians and we are righteous. We are good. Well, quite good. Well, at least not very bad. Well, we do our best most of the time. That is not the righteousness that protects us. That is not the righteousness that provides the breastplate for us. Remember what it said at the beginning, be strong in the Lord and his strength. It's the righteousness that we get from God, given to us, not earned, that protects us. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. It's that righteousness. This righteousness, this is what Paul said in Romans chapter 3. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. And there's no actual great difference between what wrong things you did in the past beforehand either. Righteousness is available to all of us. But it's given to us through faith in Jesus. In Philippians, Paul said, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I've been doing quite a lot of decorating and sort of minor building recently. There is a choice. Here's a crack. Do you paint over it or paper over it? Or do you dig it out and repair it? Rebuild the foundations if necessary. That's the righteousness that we get from God. It's not a papered over crack. It's a deep, fundamental righteousness because it comes from God. And that's why it provides a breastplate for us, because we are proof against accusation and against attack. We have a breastplate of righteousness. This one's a bit difficult to sort of just construe what the English says. Your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Paul clearly wants to put something that protects you on your feet. And his metaphor is that it's not a breastplate, it's a readiness. Not a readiness to sort of, well, I'm ready to do something. It is a preparedness. You're ready for the shock. You're ready that when the charge comes against you, you can resist that charge. You have a firm footing. The Amplified Version says, and having strapped on your feet the gospel of peace in preparation to face the enemy with firm-footed stability and the readiness produced by the good news. The gospel of peace means that we are imperturbable. There's nothing that can disturb our peace, that can shock us, that can rock us, because we have a peace that comes from God. It's not our peace. It's not us saying, I will be peaceful. It doesn't come from contemplation. It comes from God. It's a God-given peace because of the good news of the gospel. Therefore, says Paul in Romans, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That means we're ready for anything. Take up, says Paul, the shield of faith. The shield is very flexible. You can turn it in any direction. It says, ready to extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. That's quite an interesting. Arrows come from all directions. And they come from a distance. You don't see the source. You just see the arrow coming. And it arrives and it presents immediate danger that was unlooked for. You've got a shield against that arrow. The flaming arrows of the evil one. Faith protects even when we suffer a surprise attack, a shock, a death, an accusation. We hold on. Some of you will have read the Narnia stories, The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. In there there's the character, the badger. The initial situation is really quite hopeless. There's this witch who's been in control of Narnia for 100 years, 100 years of winter with no Christmas, total control. No one can do anything, no one can say anything right. But the badger says, we're still expecting Aslan. We're still expecting, in effect, the return of Jesus. And the badger says, I am a beast, I am, and a badger, what's more. We don't change. We hold on. We hold on. That seems to me what the shield of faith is. That even when we're rocked, even when we're attacked or whatever, our first response is we hold on. We don't waver. That's the shield of faith. Faith is good if the object of faith can be trusted. So that's a big link here back to the belt of truth. Our faith is justified because the one that we have faith in is reliable and trustworthy. The helmet of salvation. Helmet sits on your head, protects you from attacks at maybe your most important part. Paul adds no explanation about this, why the helmet of salvation is important. Perhaps he thought it was so obvious, it didn't need any explanation. Perhaps he was he'd done all these other metaphors and he was rushing on. Perhaps he was rushing for the post, I don't know. But the helmet of salvation, what does that mean? And why is it important? This is John 3:15-16. That everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. As Christians, one of the things we believe is that we have eternal life. That's the salvation. We have been saved to eternal life. That means though we might fear suffering or death, we have eternal life. Jesus said, don't be afraid of those who kill the body. They cannot kill the soul. Rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. The helmet of salvation is the absolute backstop. Whatever attacks we suffer, whatever persecution we may suffer when the evil day comes, they cannot kill our soul. Because of our salvation, we have eternal life. This is heavy stuff, but it's part of the battle that we may be in. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, I've often heard that interpreted as the Word of God is the Bible, so we've got the Bible, and that's our offensive weapon. That's what we can use for, it's part of our armour in that way. And I'm sure that's true. The Bible is our sword. But I'm not sure that's actually what Paul was thinking about, mainly. Luke said, when you are brought before synagogues, rulers and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourself or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. I think we need to be close to God. It's His power, His word that we will rely on as our sword. We need to listen and put our faith that we will be given the words to say when we face authorities and rulers. I don't think we'll be taken before synagogues. There's another verse at the end. It's not really shaped in the way of armour. But it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Paul runs out of armour metaphors, but the context suggests that prayer is a part of our weaponry too. And a key part of our protection. If we are to be strong in the Lord, and it's His strength that we are relying on for our protection and our ability to engage in a heavenly battle, we need to be close to God, and that means a relationship. It's not just about what we abstractly believe. We've got to be close, connected to God, to be listening and allowing Him to tell us what to say. Yeah, so that's the end of the passage. I've got a minute. So the second sermon starts now. There were several aspects of this that just sort of exploded in my mind as I was preparing. And one of them was truth. The idea of truth. It's sort of obvious, don't tell lies. But it's not that. When Jesus gave the reason why he came to Pilate, he said, in fact, the reason I was born and came to this world is to testify to the truth. And Pilate responded, what is truth? Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, the devil is the father of lies. Truth turns out to be fundamental. It's why it's the belt. It's the thing that holds everything together. And not only is truth fundamental, it's pivotal, but it is always under attack. And it seems particularly under attack at the moment. There seem to be particular engines of lies and mechanics of lies that are available now that weren't available before. There are deep fakes. There are conspiracy theories. There's social media. Social media misinformation is extraordinary, and it's weaponized deliberately to make whole populations believe things that are not true. I mentioned the news feeling over facts. And there are the culture wars, and the first casualty of wars, any kind of war, is truth. The different sides of the culture wars tell lies about each other. We are lied to, and we are intimidated into failing to speak the truth. 1984 was an amazing book, very, very dark book, but it talks about the future, when it was written, 1984, when there was a power that had total control, the party. And one of the things that the party did was to say that 2 + 2 = 5. And to make people believe it. Because once you could make people believe 2 + 2 = 5, you had total control of their thoughts. And their ability to think independently and to criticise was gone. The party had control. In Stalin, in the Soviet Union, he said, "The USSR has the only subway in the world." Everyone knew that there were subways in London and in New York and many other places. But he would assert, "We have the only one," because he knew it was false. But it was an assertion of control by saying lies that you insist that other people accept. Trump said, "China has no windmills. It just sends them to us to steal money off us. But they've got no windmills themselves." Now, anyone who knows anything, anyone who can see Google Maps and see what's going on in China, knows that there are windmills all over, wind turbines all over China. Trump says there aren't any. Control of the narrative gives control. This week, there was a report published by Amnesty UK, an organisation which I've supported since my youth, totally trustworthy. It's called an anti-rights report, and it listed 117 organisations that were anti-rights. And it said, what we want to happen is we want their charitable status to be reviewed. We want increased scrutiny by regulators, funders and policy makers. In other words, that they will be got at by the regulators, that they will lose funding, and that their activities will be made unlawful. And there will be a stronger policy response, again, emphasising the... I've got a list of the 117 organisations they name. Christian Action Research and Education, CARE. Many of us will know that one. Or Christian Concern, the Christian Legal Centre, the Christian Medical Fellowship, Right to Life UK, LIFE. The Catholic Bishops' Conference of England and Wales, the Catholic Herald, Christian Concern, the Evangelical Alliance, an anti-rights organisation, should have its charitable status reviewed. The Family Education Trust, the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. The Coalition for Marriage, the Marriage Foundation. Anglican Mainstream. So what makes these anti-rights? What makes them that their activities should become illegal? They should not be allowed to do what they do. One is that they say that unborn children are worth something. They're not just a collection of cells. That is not something they think that should be allowed to be said. that men cannot become women is something that some of these organisations are associated with, and that should not be allowed to be said. They support marriage. That's getting at the rights of others. That should not be allowed to be said. That is a truth that should not be allowed to be said, said Amnesty UK. As it happens, the outcry against the report was such that it's been withdrawn within a few days for review. But it was published. And it's interesting because it illustrates the battlefield. We are committed to telling the truth and not being intimidated into failing to tell the truth. But not in the way that it happens on the internet. We do not join in hate at all, ever. Jesus emphasized that he came for sinners and for lost sheep. That is, the people who are lost and who do things wrong. Like us, actually. So when we assert truths, which other people do not like, we do not join in making those statements that we say hateful. We treat other people, even people who are against us, as recipients of God's love, of God's grace. We speak the truth in love, says Paul. Let's pray. Father, we want to stay close to you and attached to you so that we have, it's your power and your armour that protects us, but enables us also to speak on your behalf. And we pray also that we'll have the courage to speak truth when we see it, but also that we will do so in a way that emphasises your grace and your love, not only for us, but for those to whom we speak. We ask your Spirit to be with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I'll give up on my third sermon. Thank you.
And we'll join together in singing a good traditional hymn, "O Breath of Life, Come Sweeping Through Us." And what a better way to invite God to sweep through our lives and to have his way.
Yeah.
Heavenly Father, we pray that you would send us out in the power of your Spirit and in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and in the strength of God Almighty, that we may truly live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. And let's share the grace together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.